And a warm welcome again to everyone. So good again to have you here with me this morning. Our text for today is taken from Nehemiah chapter 12 verse 1 to chapter 13 verse 9. But we'll just be reading Nehemiah chapter 12 verses 27 to 30 and then chapter 13 verses 1 to 9. Nehemiah chapter 12 verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Netophati, also from the house of Gilgal, and all the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had built themselves villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and purified the people, and the gates, and the wall. And then moving down to chapter 13, verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1, we read, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household staff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Sovereign Lord of heaven, your word tells us that our Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. Such a promise is too wonderful. But we know that it's true, for all your promises in Christ are yea and amen. For this cause, Lord, we faint not. Father in heaven, evermore fix our eyes on our heavenly home, to behold the glory, so that things on earth will lose their attraction. Grant us the strength and perseverance to labor on for you, and to learn more from your word. It is for the latter purpose that we are here this morning. Hear this, our prayer, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you were on a diet, what food would tempt you the most to compromise your diet? For me, it's probably ice cream. What special steps might you take to keep from eating that food? Nehemiah celebrated the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem with the Jews before he went back to visit the king of Persia. When he returned from Persia, he found that many of the Jews had compromised. He then dealt with their sin as a wise leader. For the people of Jerusalem to build 4.8 kilometers of tall city walls in a period of 52 days was a monumental accomplishment in the strength and grace of God. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 16. This called for a spectacular celebration. Having just gone through a purging process of spiritual revival, the people wanted this to be a God-honoring celebration as well. Unfortunately, this is not the end of the story. After Nehemiah went back to Persia and later returned to Judah, he discovered that the people were back in sin. He therefore took immediate action. Let us now look at what exactly happened. Roman numeral 1, dedication of the walls. Dedication of the walls. And letter A, leaders of the temple. Leaders of the temple. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 26. As a good leader, Nehemiah honored faithful servants of the Lord. He gave the names of those serving in the temple in chapter 12. First, he listed the post-exilic temple leaders. His recognition of these men reveals his understanding of Jerusalem. The wall of Jerusalem received its importance because of what it protected: God's holy temple. He included the leaders of the priests, chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. The priests help us, chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. The high priest, chapter 12, verses 10 to 11. The heads of the priestly families, chapter 12, verses 12 to 21. And other Levites and priestly associates, chapter 12, verses 22 to 26. But not only do we have the leaders of the temple, we have, letter B, ceremony of dedication. Ceremony of dedication. And this is found in Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 to 47. Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 to 47, continued the historical narrative from chapter 11, verse 2. Although the walls had been finished for some time, see chapter 6, verse 15, dedication ceremonies were not held until Jerusalem was successfully re-established. At this stage, Nehemiah could also celebrate the completion of his task. As the dedication ceremonies were planned, emphasis was placed on the service as a rendering of thanks to God. Chapter 12, verse 31. The purpose of the celebration is given in chapter 12, verse 27. Levites were enlisted to provide music of gladness. Chapter 12, verses 27 to 29. Both vocalists and instrumentalists were summoned to provide songs of thanksgiving and praise using cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. Chapter 12, verse 27. Before the actual dedication could begin, both the walls and the worshippers had to be ceremonially cleansed. Chapter 12, verse 30. Priests, Levites, and the general Jewish public were all cleansed. Nehemiah seems to indicate that the blood of animal sacrifices was sprinkled on the walls and gates. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 30 reads, "And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall." You would notice that it is important to dedicate the people before dedicating the wall. The dedicated wall would be pointless without dedicated people living inside it. The implications this has for today, as we seek to do the Lord's work, is that now, as then, spiritual purity must precede spiritual service. Clean hearts must precede worship. Nehemiah took a major role in planning this spectacular dedication. He appointed two choirs of thanksgiving to encircle the city on top of the walls. Both choirs were evidently to start at the valley gate, the same gate through which Nehemiah first passed to view the city on his nighttime inspection. Chapter 2, verse 13. Ezra led one of these choirs. This choir included Hoshaiah, half of the leaders and priests with trumpets and other instrumentalists. At the signal, this group marched counterclockwise around the city on top of the wall. Chapter 12, verses 31 to 37. The other group included Nehemiah, half of the officials, priests with trumpets and other singers. This group marched clockwise, around the city on the wall at the same time. Chapter 12, verses 38 to 42. What an experience of worship and celebration this must have created. It not only directed Jerusalem's praise to God for the new wall, but it also gave a powerful testimony to all the onlookers surrounding the cities. Perhaps even Tobiah was watching. And what did Tobiah say about the wall as the Jews were building it? That a fox would knock it down if he walked on it. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 3 says, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" But now large groups of Jews were walking on the wall. The sight of the Jews walking on the walls probably infuriated Tobiah. No doubt, he remembered his dubious comment. The two choirs evidently met inside the city walls and completed their elaborate dedication ceremony at the temple with the offering of many sacrifices. That day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. Chapter 12, verse 43. Such great joy resounded that the noise of celebration was heard at great distances. Chapter 12, verses 42 to 43. The great joy was a result of the people's obedience to God in completing the walls. The difficulty of the task resulted in the greatness of the joy. This is the connection between the completed walls and the great joy the people had. Have you seen the connection between obedience to God and great joy in your life? We think we'll be happy by trying to avoid serving God. But when we try to avoid God, particularly service that requires serious dedication, we end up missing out on true and lasting joy. Our joy decreases when we stop serving God. At the conclusion of the service, Nehemiah directed the people in the giving of contributions, first fruits and tithes, just as they had promised to do in the oath recorded in chapter 10. Temple workers received what they needed, and all the holy vessels were sanctified. With the completion of the wall and the reconstructing of Jerusalem, the temple of God also got a fresh start. The time of the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem was a time of praise indeed. The people kept the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing. Verse 27. Singing is an important part of every worship service. Yeah, even of the personal life of the Christian. We're exhorted to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And the period following the Reformation, singing in churches was confined mostly to psalms. It was thought wrong and even sinful to make up new hymns. One man who made many contributions to the change of psalm singing to hymn singing was Isaac Watts. By the age of 7, he was composing so many poems that his father became annoyed and ordered him to quit. But Isaac refused. So his father took him to the woodshed to, quote and unquote, spank poetry out of him. But poetry was too deeply ingrained in Isaac for that. One day, when he was scolded by his irritated father for this practice, he cried out, "Oh, father, do some pity take, and I will no more verses make." When he was 18, Isaac complained to his father that the hymns in the church service were uninspiring. "Well," said his father, "if you could improve on them, why don't you try?" Isaac did try. After much prayer, he wrote a hymn which was sung the following Sunday. During the following 2 years, he wrote a new hymn for each service. At first, his hymns met opposition, for people considered them emotional. But Isaac Watts wrote on. Today, his hymns are sung in churches throughout the world. The Lord guided his pen to write such never-to-be-forgotten hymns as "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross" and "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." But the important point for us is this: that God will help us to sing his praises daily, and that we indeed have a song in our heart. John Wesley once said, "Beware of singing as if you were dead or half asleep. Lift up your voices with strength, even in silent singing," if I may add. "Be no more afraid of your voice now, or more ashamed of its being heard, than when you sang the songs of Satan." And Martin Luther said, "Next after theology, I give to music the highest place and the greatest honor." Roman numeral 2. Separation of the people. Separation of the people. Nehemiah's first term as governor had been the most successful. During the 12 years of that term, see Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14, he has rebuilt a strong civil and moral foundation for Judah's future. His long tenure demonstrated a genuine commitment to Jerusalem's welfare and not just a passing interest. However, he finally returned to Persia, probably to fulfill the promise he had made to Artaxerxes. Cross-reference with chapter 2, verse 6, and chapter 13, verse 6. In Nehemiah's absence, the people of Jerusalem quickly lapse into sin. The prophet Malachi confronted them for their backsliding in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 3, verse 12. According to Malachi 1, 6 to 14, 2, 17, and 3, 1 to 5, the priests went through the motions of serving God and offering Him sacrifices, but their hearts were far from God. The condition of their hearts was evident by the deplorable state of the animals they offered: blind, lame, sick, defiled, and stolen. The Jews' basic problem was seen in Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his rights, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." The Jews didn't fear God. They didn't respect God. They obeyed Him outwardly to avoid His chastisement. But their hearts were far from God. Are you now going through the motions of serving God without reverencing Him? Nehemiah was shocked when he returned to Judah for a second term as the governor-in-chief. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 7 to 8. Letter A: separation from pagans. Separation from pagans. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Nehemiah discovered a flagrant violation of the law of Moses. Jews were inviting Ammonites and Moabites to worship at the holy temple. Historically, these tribes had tried to bar the children of Israel from possessing the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 to 6. They even tried to curse Israel with the help of the false prophet Balaam. Numbers chapters 22 to 25. Nehemiah boldly had these portions of the law read to the people once again, and immediately they corrected the matter. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Letter B: separation from compromise. Separation from compromise. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 4 to 9. Nehemiah further discovered that Eliashib, the high priest, had invited Tobiah, the enemy of Jerusalem, to live in the temple. There, in one of the storerooms that once housed meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, Eliashib helped Tobiah set up housekeeping. Chapter 13, verses 4 to 5. Nehemiah became furious when he saw what had happened. He knew from personal experience that Tobiah was not only an Ammonite, but he was also an enemy of Jerusalem and of the true God. See chapter 2, verses 10 and 19, chapter 4, verse 3, and chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. now Tobiah, could oppose the work of God from within the temple. When Eliashib made such arrangements for Tobiah, the message Eliashib would have sent to the Jews is that they didn't need to take God seriously. That they could please God by simply going through the motions of obeying His law. Nehemiah must have been deeply puzzled at Eliashib's compromise, for he knew that Eliashib had helped to rebuild the wall during Tobiah's opposition. It was Eliashib, the high priest, who had rebuilt the sheep gate. See chapter 3, verse 1. Perhaps chapter 13, verse 4, gives the explanation. Eliashib the priest was allied unto Tobiah. Tobiah and Eliashib may have been related to each other. If so, here is more evidence that pagan intermarriage produces tragic consequences. According to Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 8 to 9, Nehemiah took immediate action. He stormed the storeroom and threw out all the household staff of Tobiah. This was followed by immediate ceremonial cleansing and the return of the room to temple service. Dedication of the walls and separation of the people. The people of Jerusalem dedicated the walls to God and separated themselves to God. This could truly be said to be the high point of the book. Later, however, when Nehemiah was back in Persia, they fell into sin. Upon returning to Jerusalem, Nehemiah confronted the people over their sins. We then saw their separation from pagans and their separation from compromise. We are running out of time, so we'll continue next week. But the question I would like to leave with you this morning is this. Have you compromised and followed particular sins? How good it is to note obedience to the Word of God. How sad it is that many people who are giving lip service to the Bible nevertheless refuse to obey its precepts. Why do we compromise and grasp for what we shouldn't have as believers? A false sense of ability to stay true to God on our own. A lack of understanding of God's holiness. A weakened faith from a lack of time in God's word. Close friendships with lost or compromising believers. Lack of reverence for God. Consistent exposure to ungodly influences. If you have compromised and followed particular sins, I urge you to deal with them with the same seriousness Nehemiah had in dealing with them.